Mistress, we need to leave.
Ellen nodded. It's not safe anywhere in the city. The Ska are rebelling. He paused, looking at her. But, you probably already know that. Vin nodded, finally letting go of him.
I helped start it. But you're right about the danger. Goeth says it. He's known by many of the rebel leaders. They won't hurt you as long as he vouches for you.
Ellen and Sazed both frowned as Vin pulled on her trousers. In the pocket she found her mother's earring. She put it back on.
Go with Sazed, Ellen asked. But what about you?
Vin pulled on her loose overshirt. Then she glanced upward, sensing through the stone, feeling him up above. He was there. Too powerful. Now, having faced him directly, she was certain of his strength. The Ska Rebellion was doomed as long as he lived.
I have another task, Elend, she said, taking the mist cloak from Sazed. You think you can defeat him, mistress? Sazed said. I have to try, she said. The 11th metal worked, Saze. I saw something. Kelsey was convinced it would provide the secret. But the Lord Ruler, mistress...
Kelsier died to start this rebellion, Vin said firmly. I have to see that it succeeds. That is my part, Sazed. Kelsier didn't know what it was, but I do. I have to stop the Lord Ruler.
The Lord Ruler? Ellen asked with shock. No, Valet. He's immortal.
Vin reached over, grabbing Ellen's head and pulling him down to kiss her.
Ellen, your family delivered the Atium to the Lord Ruler. Do you know where he keeps it?
Yes, he said with confusion. He keeps the beads in a treasury building just east of here.
But you have to get that Atium, Ellen. The new government is going to need that wealth and power if it's going to keep from getting conquered by the first nobleman who can raise an army.
No, Valet, Ellen said, shaking his head. I have to get you to safety.
She smiled at him, then turned to Sazed. The terraceman nodded to her.
Not going to tell me not to go? She asked.
No, he said quietly. I fear that you are right, mistress. If the Lord Ruler is not defeated, well, I will not stop you. I will bid you, however, good luck. I will come to help you once I see young Venture to safety.
Vin nodded, smiled at the apprehensive Elend, then looked up. Toward the dark force, waiting above, pulsing with a tired depression. She burned copper, pushing aside the Lord Ruler's soothing.
Valet, Ellen said quietly.
She turned back to him.
Don't worry, she said. I think I know how to kill him.
Such are my fears as I scribble with an ice-crusted pen on the eve before the world is reborn. Rashik watches, hating me. The cavern lies above, pulsing. My fingers quiver, not from the cold. Tomorrow it will end.
38. Vin pushed herself through the air above Credic Shaw. Spires and towers rose around her like the shadowed tines of some phantom monster lurking below. Dark, straight, and ominous, for some reason they made her think of Kelsier, lying dead in the street, an obsidian-tipped spear jutting from his chest. The mists spun and swirled as she blew through them. They were still thick, but Tin let her see a faint glistening on the horizon. Morning was near. Below her, a greater light was building. Vin caught hold of a thin spire, letting her momentum spin her around the slick metal, giving her a sweeping view of the area. Thousands of torches burned in the night, mixing and merging like luminescent insects. They were organized in great waves, converging on the palace.
The palace guard doesn't have a chance against such a force, she thought. But by fighting its way into the palace, the Ska army will seal its own doom.
She turned to the side, the mist-wetted spire cold beneath her fingers. The last time she had jumped through the spires of Credic Shaw, she had been bleeding and semi-conscious. Sazed had arrived to save her, but he wouldn't be able to help this time. A short distance away, she could see the throne tower. It wasn't difficult to spot. A ring of blazing bonfires illuminated its outside, lighting its single stained glass window to those inside. She could feel him inside. She waited for a few moments, hoping, perhaps, that she might be able to attack after the Inquisitors had left the room. Kelsier believed that the 11th medal was the key, she thought. She had one idea. It would work. It had to.
As of this moment, the Lord Ruler proclaimed in a loud voice, the Canton of Inquisition is granted organizational dominance of the Ministry. Inquiries once addressed to Tavidian should now go to Carr.
The throne room fell silent, the collection of high-ranking obligators dumbfounded by the night's events. The Lord Ruler waved a hand, indicating that the meeting was finished.
Finally, Carr thought.
He raised his head, his eye spikes throbbing as always, bringing him pain. But this evening it was the pain of joy. The Inquisitors had been waiting for 2 centuries, carefully politicking, subtly encouraging corruption and dissension among the regular obligators. And finally it had worked. The Inquisitors would no longer bow before the dictates of inferior men. He turned and smiled toward the group of ministry priests, knowing full well the discomfort the gaze of an Inquisitor could cause. He couldn't see any more, not as he once had, but he had been given something better, a command of allomancy so subtle, so detailed, that he could make out the world around him with startling accuracy. Almost everything had metal in it, water, stone, glass, even human bodies. These metals were too diffuse to be affected by allomancy. Indeed, most allomancers couldn't even sense them. With his Inquisitor's eyes, however, Carr could see the iron lines of these things. The blue threads were fine, nearly invisible, but they outlined the world for him. The obligators before him were a shuffling mass of blues, their emotions, discomfort, anger, and fear, showing in their postures. Discomfort, anger, and fear. So sweet, all three. Carr's smile widened, despite his fatigue. He had been awake for too long. Living as an Inquisitor drained the body, and he had to rest often. His brethren were already shuffling from the room, heading toward their rest chambers, which lay intentionally close to the throne room. They would sleep immediately. With the executions earlier in the day and the excitement of the night, they would be extremely fatigued. Carr, however, stayed behind as both Inquisitors and obligators left. Soon only he and the Lord Ruler remained, standing in a room lit by 5 massive braziers. The external bonfires slowly went out, extinguished by servants, leaving the glass panorama dark and black.
"You finally have what you want," the Lord Ruler said quietly. "Perhaps now I can have peace in this matter."
"Yes, Lord Ruler," Carr said, bowing. "I think that—"
A strange sound snapped in the air, a soft click. Carr looked up, frowning as a small disc of metal bounced across the floor, eventually rolling to a stop against his foot. He picked up the coin, then looked up at the massive window, noting the small hole broken through it.
"What?"
Dozens more coins zipped through the window, scattering it with holes. Metallic clinks and tinkling glass rang in the air. Carr stepped back in surprise. The entire southern section of the window shattered, blasting inward, the glass weakened by coins to the point that a soaring body could break through. Shards of colorful glass spun in the air, spraying before a small figure clad in a fluttering mist cloak and carrying a pair of glittering black daggers. The girl landed in a crouch, skidding a short distance on the bits of glass, mist billowing through the opening behind her. It curled forward, drawn by her allomancy, swirling around her body. She crouched for just a moment in the mists, as if she were some herald of the night itself. Then she sprang forward, dashing directly toward the Lord Ruler. Vin burned the 11th medal. The Lord Ruler's past self appeared as it had before,
forming as if out of mist to stand on the dais beside the throne. Vin ignored the Inquisitor. The creature, fortunately, reacted slowly. She was halfway up the dais steps before it thought to chase her. The Lord Ruler, however, sat quietly, watching her with a barely interested expression.
Two spears through the chest didn't even bother him, Vin thought as she leapt the last bit of distance up to the top of the dais. He has nothing to fear from my daggers.
Which was why she didn't intend to attack him with them. Instead, she raised her weapons and plunged directly toward the past self's heart. Her daggers hit, and passed right through the man as if he weren't there. Vin stumbled forward, skidding directly through the image, nearly slipping off the dais. She spun, slicing at the image again. Again her daggers passed through it harmlessly. It didn't even waver or distort.
My gold image, she thought in frustration. I was able to touch that. Why can't I touch this?
It obviously didn't work the same way. The shadow stood still, completely oblivious of her attacks. She thought that maybe if she killed the past version of the Lord Ruler, his current form would die as well. Unfortunately, the past self appeared to be just as insubstantial as an Atium shadow. She had failed. Carr crashed into her, his powerful Inquisitor's grip grabbing at her shoulders, his momentum carrying her off the dais. They tumbled down the back steps. Vin grunted, flaring pewter.
I'm not the same powerless girl you held prisoner just a short time ago, Carr, she thought with determination, kicking him upward as they hit the ground behind the throne.
The Inquisitor grunted, her kick tossing him into the air and ripping his grip free of her shoulders. Her mist cloak came off in his hands, but she flipped to her feet and scrambled away.
Inquisitors!
The Lord Ruler bellowed, standing.
Come to me!
Vin cried out, the powerful voice striking pain in her tin-enhanced ears.
I have to get out of here, she thought, stumbling. I'll need to come up with a different way to kill him.
Carr tackled her again from behind. This time he got his arms wrapped completely around her and he squeezed. Vin cried out in pain, flaring her pewter, pushing back, but Carr forced her to her feet. He dexterously wrapped one arm around her throat while pinning her own arms behind her back with his other. She fought angrily, squirming and struggling, but his grip was tight. She tried throwing them both back with a sudden steel push against a door latch, but the anchor was too weak, and Carr barely stumbled. His grip held. The Lord Ruler chuckled as he sat back down on his throne.
You'll have little success against Carr, child. He was a soldier many years ago. He knows how to hold a person so that they can't break his grip, no matter how strong they may be.
Vin continued to struggle, gasping for breath. The Lord Ruler's words proved true, however. She tried ramming her head back against Carr's, but he was ready for this. She could hear him in her ear, his quick breathing almost passionate as he choked her. In the reflection on the window, she could see the door behind them open. Another Inquisitor strode into the room, his spikes gleaming in the distorted reflection, his dark robe ruffling.
That's it, she thought in a surreal moment, watching the mists on the ground before her, creeping through the shattered window wall, flowing across the floor.
Oddly, they didn't curl around her as they usually did, as if something were pushing them away. To Vin, it seemed a final testament to her defeat.
I'm sorry, Kelsier. I failed you.
The second Inquisitor stepped up beside his companion. Then he reached out and grabbed something at Carr's back. There was a ripping sound. Vin dropped immediately to the ground, gasping for breath. She rolled, pewter allowing her to recover quickly. Carr stood above her, teetering. Then he toppled limply to the side, sprawling to the ground. The second Inquisitor stood behind him, holding what appeared to be a large metal spike, just like the ones in the Inquisitor's eyes. Vin glanced toward Carr's immobile body. The back of his robe had been ripped, exposing a bloody hole right between the shoulder blades. A hole big enough for a metal spike. Carr's scarred face was pale, lifeless.
Another spike, Vin thought with wonder. The other Inquisitor pulled it out of Carr's back and he died. That's the secret.
What?
The Lord Ruler bellowed, standing, the sudden motion tossing his throne backwards.
The stone chair toppled down the steps, chipping and cracking the marble.
"Betrayal from one of my own?"
The new Inquisitor dashed toward the Lord Ruler. As he ran, his robe cowl fell back, giving Vin a view of his bald head. There was something familiar about the newcomer's face, despite the spike heads coming out the front and the gruesome spike tips jutting from the back of his skull. Despite the bald head and the unfamiliar clothing, the man looked a little like Kelsier.
"No," she realized. "Not Kelsier. Marsh."
Marsh took the dais steps in twos, moving with an Inquisitor's supernatural speed. Vin struggled to her feet, shrugging off the effects of her near choking. Her surprise, however, was much more difficult to dismiss. Marsh was alive. Marsh was an Inquisitor.
The Inquisitors weren't investigating him because they suspected him. They intended to recruit him.
And now he looked like he intended to fight the Lord Ruler.
"I've got to help. Perhaps he knows the secret to killing the Lord Ruler. He figured out how to kill the Inquisitors, after all."
Marsh reached the top of the dais.
"Inquisitors!" the Lord Ruler yelled. "Come to..."
The Lord Ruler froze, noticing something sitting just outside the door. A small group of steel spikes, just like the one Marsh had pulled from Carr's back, lay piled on the floor. There looked to be about 7 of them. Marsh smiled, the expression looking eerily like one of Kelsier's smirks. Vin reached the bottom of the dais and pushed herself off a coin, throwing herself up toward the top of the platform. The awesome full power of the Lord Ruler's fury hit her halfway up. The depression, the anger-fueled asphyxiation of her soul, pushed through her copper, hitting her like a physical force. She flared copper, gasping slightly, but wasn't completely able to push the Lord Ruler off of her emotions. Marsh stumbled slightly, and the Lord Ruler swung a backhand much like the one that had killed Kelsier. Fortunately, Marsh recovered in time to duck. He spun around the Lord Ruler, reaching up to grab the back of the Emperor's black robe-like suit. Marsh yanked, ripping the cloth open along the back seam. Marsh froze, his spike-eyed expression unreadable. The Lord Ruler spun, slamming his elbow into Marsh's stomach, throwing the Inquisitor across the room. As the Lord Ruler turned, Vin could see what Marsh had seen. Nothing. A normal, if muscular, back. Unlike the Inquisitors, the Lord Ruler didn't have a spike driven through his spine.
"Oh, Marsh," Vin thought with a sinking depression.
It had been a clever idea, far more clever than Vin's foolish attempt with the 11th medal. However, it had proven equally faulty. Marsh finally hit the ground, his head cracking, then slid across the stone until he ran into the far wall. He lay slumped against the massive window, immobile.
"Marsh!"
she cried, jumping and pushing herself toward him. However, as she flew, the Lord Ruler raised his hand absently. Vin felt a powerful something crash into her. It felt like a steel push, slamming against the metals inside her stomach. But of course it couldn't have been that. Kelsier had promised that no allomancer could affect metals that were inside of someone's body. But he had also said that no allomancer could affect the emotions of a person who was burning copper. Discarded coins shot away from the Lord Ruler, streaking across the floor. The doors wrenched free from their mountings, shattering and breaking away from the room. Incredibly, bits of colored glass even quivered and slid away from the dais. And Vin was tossed to the side, the metals in her stomach threatening to rip free from her body. She slammed to the ground, the blow knocking her nearly unconscious. She lay in a daze, addled, confused, able to think of only one thing.
Such power!
Clicks sounded as the Lord Ruler walked down his dais. He moved quietly, ripping off his torn suit coat and shirt, leaving himself bare from the waist up save for the jewelry sparkling on his fingers and wrists. Several thin bracelets, she noticed, pierced the skin of his upper arms.
Clever, she thought, struggling to her feet. Keeps them from being pushed or pulled.
The Lord Ruler shook his head regretfully, his steps clicking up the trails in the cool mist that poured across the floor from the broken window. He looked so strong, his torso erupting with muscles, his face handsome. She could feel the power of his allomancy snapping at her emotions, barely held back by her copper.
"What do you think, child?" the Lord Ruler asked quietly.
to defeat me? Am I some common inquisitor? My powers endowed fabrications?
Vin flared pewter. She then turned and dashed away, intending to grab Marsh's body and break through the glass at the other side of the room. But then he was there, moving with a speed as if to make the fury of a tornado's winds seem sluggish. Even within a full pewter flare, Vin couldn't outrun him. He almost seemed casual as he reached out, grabbing her shoulder and yanking her backward. He flung her like a doll, tossing her toward one of the room's massive support pillars. Vin quested desperately for an anchor, but he had blown all of the metal out of the room, except... She pulled in one of the Lord Ruler's own bracelets, the ones that didn't pierce his skin. He immediately whipped his arm upward, throwing off her pull, making her spin maladroitly in the air. He slammed her with another of his powerful pushes, blasting her backward. Metals in her stomach wrenched, glass quivered, and her mother's earring ripped free of her ear. She tried to spin and hit feet first, but she crashed into a stone pillar at a terrible speed and pewter failed her. She heard a sickening snap, and a spear of pain shot up her right leg. She collapsed to the ground. She didn't have the will to look, but the agony from her torso told her that her leg jutted from beneath her body, broken at an awkward angle. The Lord Ruler shook his head. No, Vin realized, he didn't worry about wearing jewelry. Considering his abilities and strength, a man would have to be foolish, as Vin had been, to try and use the Lord Ruler's jewelry as an anchor. It had only let him control her jumps. He stepped forward, feet clicking against broken glass.
"You think this is the first time someone has tried to kill me, child? I've survived burnings and beheadings. I've been stabbed and sliced, crushed and dismembered. I was even flayed once, near the beginning."
He turned toward Marsh, shaking his head. Strangely, Vin's earlier impression of the Lord Ruler returned. He looked tired, exhausted even. Not his body, it was still muscular. It was just his air. She tried to climb to her feet, using the stone pillar for stability.
"I am God," he said.
So different from the humble man in the logbook.
"God cannot be killed," he said. "God cannot be overthrown. Your rebellion, you think I haven't seen its like before? You think I haven't destroyed entire armies on my own? What will it take before you people stop questioning? How many centuries must I prove myself before you idiot Scar see the truth? How many of you must I kill?"
Vin cried as she twisted her leg the wrong way. She flared pewter, but tears came to her eyes anyway. She was running out of metals. Her pewter would be gone soon, and there was no way she would be able to remain conscious without it. She slumped against the pillar, the Lord Ruler's allomancy pressing against her. The pain in her leg throbbed.
"He's just too strong," she thought with despair. "He's right. He is God. What were we thinking?"
"How dare you?" the Lord Ruler asked, picking up Marsh's limp body with a bejeweled hand.
Marsh groaned slightly, trying to lift his head.
"How dare you?" the Lord Ruler demanded again. "After what I gave you, I made you superior to regular men. I made you dominant."
Vin's head snapped up. Through the haze of pain and hopelessness, something triggered a memory inside of her.
He keeps saying that his people should be dominant.
She reached within, feeling her last little bit of 11th metal reserve. She burned it, looking through tear-stained eyes as the Lord Ruler held Marsh in a one-handed grip. The Lord Ruler's past self appeared next to him. A man in a fur cloak and heavy boots. A man with a full beard and strong muscles. Not an aristocrat or a tyrant. Not a hero or even a warrior. A man dressed for life in the cold mountains. A herdsman. Or perhaps a pack man.
"Rashik,"
Vin whispered. The Lord Ruler spun toward her in startlement.
"Rashik,"
Vin said again.
That's your name, isn't it? You aren't the man who wrote the logbook. You're not the hero that was sent to protect the people. You're his servant. The Pac-Man who hated him.
She paused for a moment.
You killed him,
she whispered.
That's what happened that night. That's why the logbook stopped so suddenly. You killed the hero and took his place. You went into the cavern in his stead, and you claimed the power for yourself. But instead of saving the world, you took control of it.
You know nothing,
he bellowed, still holding Marsha's limp body in one hand.
You know nothing of that.
You hated him, Vin said. You thought that a Terraceman should have been the hero. You couldn't stand the fact that he, a man from the country that had oppressed yours, was fulfilling your own legends.
The Lord Ruler lifted a hand, and Vin suddenly felt an impossible weight press against her. Allomancy, pushing the metals in her stomach and in her body, threatening to crush her back against the pillar. She cried out, flaring her last bit of pewter, struggling to remain conscious. Mists curled around her, creeping through the broken window and across the floor. Outside through the broken window, she could hear something ringing faintly in the air. It sounded like cheering. Yells of joy, thousands in chorus. It sounded almost like they were cheering her on.
What does it matter?
She thought.
I know the Lord Ruler's secret, but what does it tell me? That he was a Pac-Man? A servant? A Terraceman? A ferrochemist.
She looked through dazed eyes and again saw the pair of bracelets glittering on the Lord Ruler's upper arms. Bracelets made of metal. Bracelets that pierced his skin in many places. So they couldn't be affected by allomancy. Why do that? He supposedly wore metal as a sign of bravado. He wasn't worried about people pulling or pushing against his metals. Or that was what he claimed. But what if all the other metals he wore, the rings, the bracelets, the fashion that had made its way to the nobility, were simply a distraction? A distraction to keep people from focusing on this one pair of bracers, twisting around the upper arms.
Could it really be that easy?
She thought, as the Lord Ruler's weight threatened to crush her. Her pewter was nearly gone. She could barely think. Yet she burned iron. The Lord Ruler could pierce copper clouds. She could, too. They were the same, somehow. If he could affect metals inside of a person's body, then she could as well. She flared the iron. Blue lines appeared, pointing to the Lord Ruler's rings and bracelets. All of them but the ones on his upper arms, piercing his skin. Vin stoked her iron, concentrating, pushing it as hard as she could. She kept her pewter flared, struggling to keep from being crushed, and she knew somehow that she was no longer breathing. The force pushing against her was too strong. She couldn't get her chest to go up and down. Mist spun around her, dancing because of her allomancy. She was dying. She knew it. She could barely even feel the pain anymore. She was being crushed, suffocated. She drew upon the mists. Two new lines appeared. She screamed, pulling with the strength she had never known before. She flared her iron higher and higher, the Lord Ruler's own push giving her the leverage she needed to pull against his bracelets. Anger, desperation, and agony mixed within her, and the pull became her only focus. Her pewter ran out.
He killed Kelsier!
The bracelets ripped free. The Lord Ruler cried out in pain, a faint, distant sound to Vin's ears. The weight suddenly released her, and she dropped to the floor, gasping, her vision swimming. The bloody bracelets hit the ground, released from her grip, skidding across the marble to land before her. She looked up, using tin to clear her vision. The Lord Ruler stood where he had been before, his eyes widening with terror, his arms bloodied. He dropped Marsh to the ground, rushing toward her and the mangled bracelets. However, with her last bit of strength, pewter gone, Vin pushed on the bracelets, shooting them past the Lord Ruler. He spun in horror, watching the bracelets fly out the broken wall window. In the distance, the sun broke the horizon. The bracelets dropped in front of its red light,
sparkling for a moment before plunging down into the city.
No!
The Lord Ruler screamed, stepping toward the window. His muscles grew limp, deflating as Sazed's had. He turned back toward Vin, angry, but his face was no longer that of a young man. He was middle-aged, his youthful features matured. He stepped toward the window. His hair grayed and wrinkles formed around his eyes like tiny webs. His next step was feeble. He began to shake with the burden of old age, his back stooping, his skin sagging, his hair growing limp. Then he collapsed to the floor. Vin leaned back, her mind fuzzing from the pain. She lay there for a time. She couldn't think. "Mistress," a voice said. And then Sazed was at her side, his brow wet with sweat. He reached over and poured something down her throat, and she swallowed. Her body knew what to do. She reflexively flared pewter, strengthening her body. She flared tin, and the sudden increase of sensitivity shocked her awake. She gasped, looking up at Sazed's concerned face.
"Careful, mistress," he said, inspecting her leg. "The bone is fractured, though it appears only in one place." "Marsh," she said, exhausted. "See to Marsh." "Marsh?"
Sazed asked. Then he saw the Inquisitor stirring slightly on the floor a distance away.
"By the Forgotten Gods,"
Sazed said, moving to Marsh's side. Marsh groaned, sitting up. He cradled his stomach with one arm.
"What is that?"
Vin glanced at the withered form on the ground a short distance away.
"It's him. The Lord Ruler. He's dead."
Sazed frowned curiously, standing. He wore a brown robe and had brought a simple wooden spear with him. Vin shook her head at the thought of such a pitiful weapon facing the creature that had nearly killed her and Marsh.
"Of course, in a way, we were all just as useless. We should be dead, not the Lord Ruler. I pulled his bracelets off. Why? Why can I do things like he can? Why am I different?"
"Mistress," Sazed said slowly, "he is not dead, I think. He's still alive."
"What?"
Vin asked, frowning. She could barely think at the moment. There would be time to sort out her questions later. Sazed was right. The aged figure wasn't dead. Actually, it was moving pitifully on the floor, crawling toward the broken window, toward where his bracelets had gone. Marsh stumbled to his feet, waving away Sazed's ministrations.
"I will heal quickly. See to the girl."
"Help me up," Vin said.
"Mistress,"
Sazed said disapprovingly.
"Please, Sazed."
He sighed, handing her the wooden spear.
"Here, lean on this."
She took it, and he helped her to her feet. Vin leaned on the shaft, hobbling with Marsh and Sazed toward the Lord Ruler. The crawling figure reached the edge of the room, overlooking the city through the shattered window. Vin's footsteps crackled on broken glass. People cheered again below, though she couldn't see them, nor see what they were cheering about.
"Listen," Sazed said. "Listen, he who would have been our god. Do you hear them cheering? Those cheers aren't for you. This people never cheered for you. They have found a new leader this evening. A new pride."
"My obligators,"
the Lord Ruler whispered.
"Your obligators will soon forget you," Marsh said. "I will see to that. The other Inquisitors are dead, slain by my own hand. Yet the gathered prelins saw you transfer power to the Canton of Inquisition. I am the only Inquisitor left in Luthadel. I rule your church now."
"No,"
the Lord Ruler whispered. Marsh, Vin, and Sazed stopped in a ragged group, looking down at the old man. In the morning light below, Vin could see a massive collection of people standing before a large podium, holding up their weapons in a sign of respect. The Lord Ruler cast his eyes down at the crowd, and the final realization of his failure seemed to hit him. He looked back up at the ring of people who had defeated him.
You don't understand,
he wheezed.
You don't know what I did for mankind. I was your god, even if you couldn't see it. By killing me, you have doomed yourselves.
Vin glanced at Marsh and Sazed. Slowly, each of them nodded. The Lord Ruler had been coughing, and he seemed to be aging even further. Vin leaned on Sazed, her teeth gritted against the pain of her broken leg.
I bring you a message from a friend of ours, she said quietly. He wanted you to know that he's not dead. He can't be killed. He is hope.
Then she raised the spear and rammed it directly into the Lord Ruler's heart. Oddly, on occasion I sense a peacefulness within. You would think that after all I have seen, after all I have suffered, my soul would be a twisted jumble of stress, confusion, and melancholy. Often it's just that. But then, there is the peace. I feel it sometimes, as I do now, staring out over the frozen cliffs and glass mountains in the still of morning, watching a sunrise that is so majestic that I know that none shall ever be its match. If there are prophecies, if there is a hero of ages, then my mind whispers that there must be something directing my path. Something is watching. Something cares. These peaceful whispers tell me a truth I wish very much to believe. If I fail, another shall come to finish my work. Epilogue. The only thing I can conclude, Master Marsh, Sazed said, is that the Lord Ruler was both a ferrochemist and an allomancer. Vin frowned, sitting atop an empty building near the edge of a ska slum. Her broken leg, carefully splinted by Sazed, hung over the edge of the rooftop, dangling in the air. She'd slept most of the day, as apparently had Marsh, who stood beside her. Sazed had carried a message to the rest of the crew, telling them of Vin's survival. Apparently there had been no major casualties among the others, for which Vin was glad. She hadn't gone to them yet, however. Sazed had told them that she needed to rest, and they were busy setting up Ellen's new government.
A ferrochemist and an allomancer, Marsh said speculatively.
He had recovered quickly indeed. Though Vin still bore bruises, fractures, and cuts from the fight, he seemed to have already healed his broken ribs. He leaned down, resting one arm on his knee, staring out over the city with spikes instead of eyes.
How does he even see? Vin wondered.
Yes, Master Marsh, Sazed explained. You see, youth is one of the things that a ferrochemist can store. It's a fairly useless process. In order to store up the ability to feel and look a year younger, you would have to spend part of your life feeling and looking 1 year older. Often keepers use the ability as a disguise, changing ages to fool others and hide. Beyond this, however, no one has ever seen much use for the ability. However, if the ferrochemist were also an allomancer, he might be able to burn his own metal storages, releasing the energy within them tenfold. Mistress Vin tried to burn some of my metals earlier, but couldn't access the power. However, if you were able to make up the ferrochemical storages yourself, then burn them for the extra power.
Marsh frowned.
I don't follow you, Sazed.
I apologize, Sazed said. This is perhaps a thing that is difficult to understand without a background in both allomantic and ferrochemical theory. Let me see if I can explain it better. What is the main difference between allomancy and ferrochemy?
Allomancy draws its power from metals, Marsh said. Ferrochemy draws its powers from the person's own body.
Exactly, Sazed said. So what the Lord Ruler did, I presume, was combine these two abilities. He used one of the attributes only available to ferrochemy, that of changing his age, but fueled it with allomancy instead. By burning a ferrochemical storage that he himself had made,
he effectively made a new allomantic metal for himself, one that made him younger when he burned it. If my guess is correct, he would have gained a limitless supply of youth, since he was drawing most of his power from the metal itself, rather than his own body. All he would have to do was spend the occasional bit of time aged to give himself ferrochemical storages to burn and stay young.
So, Marsh said, just burning those storages would make him even younger than when he started?
He would have had to place that excess youth inside of another ferrochemical storage, I think, Sazed explained. You see, allomancy is quite spectacular. Its powers generally come in bursts and flares. The Lord Ruler wouldn't have wanted all of that youth at once, so he'd have stored it inside of a piece of metal which he could slowly drain, keeping himself young.
The bracelets?
Yes, Master Marsh. However, ferrochemy gives decreasing returns. It takes more than the proportionate amount of strength, for instance, to make yourself four times as strong as a regular man, as opposed to simply twice as strong. In the Lord Ruler's case, this meant that he had to spend more and more youth to keep from aging. When Mistress Vin stole the bracelets, he aged incredibly quickly because his body was trying to stretch back to where it should have been.
Vin sat in the cool evening wind, staring out toward Keep Venture. It was bright with light. Not even a single day had passed, and Elland was already meeting with Ska and nobleman leaders, drafting a code of laws for his new nation. Vin sat silently, fingering her earring. She'd found it in the throne room, had put it back in her torn ear as it began to heal. She wasn't certain why she kept it. Perhaps because it was a link to Reen and the mother who had tried to kill her. Or perhaps simply because it was a reminder of things she shouldn't have been able to do. There was much to learn still about allomancy. For 1,000 years the nobility had simply trusted what the Inquisitors and Lord Ruler told them. What secrets had they shadowed? What metals had they hidden?
"The Lord Ruler," she finally said. "He just used a trick to be immortal then. That means he wasn't ever really a god, right? He was just lucky. Anyone who was both a ferrochemist and an allomancer could have done what he did." "It appears that way, Mistress," Sazed said. "Perhaps that was why he feared keepers so much. He hunted and killed ferrochemists, for he knew that the skill was hereditary, just as allomancy is. If the terrace lines ever mixed with those of the imperial nobility, the result could very well have been a child who could challenge him."
"Hence the breeding programs," Marsh said. Sazed nodded.
"He needed to make absolutely sure that the terracemen weren't allowed to mix with the regular populace, lest they pass on latent ferrochemical abilities."
Marsh shook his head. "His own people. He did such horrible things to them just to keep hold of his power."
"But," Vin said, frowning, "if the Lord Ruler's powers came from a mixture of ferrochemy and allomancy, what happened at the Well of Ascension? What was the power that the man who wrote the logbook, whoever he was supposed to find?" "I don't know, Mistress," Sazed said quietly. "Your explanation doesn't answer everything," Vin said, shaking her head.
She hadn't spoken of her own strange abilities, but she had spoken of what the Lord Ruler had done in the throne room.
"He was so powerful, Sazed. I could feel his allomancy. He was able to push on metals inside my body. Perhaps he could enhance his ferrochemy by burning the storages, but how did he get so strong at allomancy?"
Sazed sighed.
"I fear that the only person who could have answered these questions died this morning."
Vin paused. The Lord Ruler had held secrets about the Terrace religion that Sazed's people had been searching for centuries to find.
"I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have killed him."
Sazed shook his head.
"His own aging would have killed him soon anyway, Mistress. What you did was right. This way I can record that the Lord Ruler was struck down by one of the Ska he had oppressed."
Vin flushed.
Record? Of course. I am still a keeper, mistress. I must pass these things on. History, events, and truths.
You won't say too much about me, will you? For some reason, the idea of other people telling stories about her made her uncomfortable.
I wouldn't worry too much, mistress, Sazed said with a smile. My brethren and I will be very busy, I think. We have so much to restore, so much to tell the world. I doubt details about you need to be passed on with any urgent timing. I will record what happened, but I will keep it to myself for a while, if you wish.
Thank you, Vin said, nodding.
That power that the Lord Ruler found in the cave, Marsh said speculatively. Perhaps it was just allomancy. You said there was no record of any allomancers before the Ascension.
It is indeed a possibility, Master Marsh, Sazed said. There are very few legends about the origins of allomancy, and nearly all of them agree that allomancers first appeared with the mists.
Vin frowned. She'd always assumed that the title Mistborn had come about because allomancers tended to do their work at night. She'd never considered that there might be a stronger connection.
Mist reacts to allomancy. It swirls when an allomancer uses his abilities nearby. And what did I feel at the end? It was like I drew something from the mists.
Whatever she'd done, she hadn't been able to replicate it. Marsh sighed and stood. He had been awake only a few hours, but he already seemed tired. His head hung slightly, as if the weight of the spikes were pulling it down.
"Does that hurt, Marsh?" she asked. "The spikes, I mean."
He paused.
"Yes. All 11 of them throb. The pain reacts to my emotions somehow."
11? Vin asked with shock.
Marsh nodded.
2 in the head, 8 in the chest, 1 in the back to seal them together. That's the only way to kill an Inquisitor. You have to separate the top spikes from the bottom ones. Kel did it through a beheading, but it's easier to just pull out the middle spike.
We thought you were dead, Vin said, when we found the body in the blood at the soothing station.
Marsh nodded.
I was going to send word of my arrival, but they watched me fairly closely that first day. I didn't expect Kel to make his move so quickly.
None of us did, Master Marsh, Sazed said. None of us expected it at all.
He actually did it, didn't he? Marsh said, shaking his head in wonder. That bastard. There are 2 things I'll never forgive him for. The first is for stealing my dream of overthrowing the final empire, then actually succeeding at it.
Vin paused.
And the second?
Marsh turned spikeheads toward her.
Getting himself killed to do it.
If I may ask, Master Marsh, Sazed said, who was that corpse that Mistress Vin and Master Kelsier discovered at the soothing station?
Marsh looked back over the city.
There were several corpses, actually. The process to create a new Inquisitor is messy. I'd rather not speak about it.
Of course, Sazed said, bowing his head.
You, however, Marsh said, could tell me about this creature that Kelsier used to imitate Lord Renu.
The Chandra, Sazed said. I fear even the Keepers know little of them. They are related to Mistwraiths, perhaps even the same creatures, just older. Because of their reputation, they generally prefer to remain unseen, though some of the noble houses hire them on occasion.
Vin frowned.
So why didn't Kel just have this Chandra impersonate him and die in his stead?
Ah, Sazed said.
You see, mistress, for a Chandra to impersonate someone, they must first devour that person's flesh and absorb their bones. Chandra are like Mistwraiths. They have no skeletons of their own.
Vin shivered.
Oh.
He is back, you know, Marsh said.
The creature is no longer using my brother's body. He has another one. But he came looking for you, Vin.
Me? Vin asked.
Marsh nodded. He said something about Kelsier transferring his contract to you before he died. I believe the beast sees you as its master now.
Vin shivered. That thing ate Kelsier's body. I don't want it around, she said. I'll send it away. Do not be quite so hasty, mistress, Sazed said. Khandra are expensive servants. You must pay them in Atium. If Kelsier bought an extended contract for one, it would be foolish to waste its services. A Khandra might prove a very useful ally in the months to come.
Vin shook her head.
I don't care. I don't want that thing around. Not after what it did.
The trio fell silent. Finally Marsh stood, sighing. Anyway, if you will excuse me, I should go make an appearance at the keep. The new king wants me to represent the ministry in his negotiations.
Vin frowned. I don't see why the ministry deserves any say in things. The obligators are still quite powerful, mistress, Sazed said. And they are the most efficient and well-trained bureaucratic force in the final empire. His Majesty would be wise to try and bring them to his side, and recognizing Master Marsh may help achieve this.
Marsh shrugged. Of course, assuming I can establish control over the Canton of Orthodoxy, the ministry should change during the next few years. I'll move slowly and carefully, but by the time I'm done, the obligators won't even realize what they've lost. Those other inquisitors could present a problem, though.
Vin nodded. How many are there outside of Luthadel?
I don't know, Marsh said. I wasn't a member of the Order for very long before I destroyed it. However, the Final Empire was a big place. Many speak of there being around 20 inquisitors in the Empire, but I never was able to pin anyone down on a hard number.
Vin nodded as Marsh left. However, the Inquisitors, while dangerous, worried her far less now that she knew their secret. She was more concerned about something else. You don't know what I do for mankind. I was your god. Even if you couldn't see it, by killing me you have doomed yourselves.
The Lord Ruler's final words. At the time, she thought he'd been referring to the Final Empire as the thing he did for mankind. However, she wasn't so certain anymore. There had been fear in his eyes when he'd spoken those words, not pride.
Says, she said, what was the deepness? The thing that the hero from the logbook was supposed to defeat? I wish that we knew, mistress, Says had said. But it didn't come, right? Apparently not, Says had said. The legends agree that had the deepness not been stopped, the very world would have been destroyed. Of course, perhaps these stories have been exaggerated. Maybe the danger of the deepness was really just the Lord Ruler himself. Perhaps the hero's fight was simply one of conscience. He had to choose to dominate the world or to let it be free.
That didn't sound right to Vin. There was more. She remembered that fear in the Lord Ruler's eyes. Terror.
He said do, not did. What I do for mankind. That implies that he was still doing it, whatever it was. You have doomed yourselves.
She shivered in the evening air. The sun was setting, making it even easier to see the illuminated keep venture, Ellen's choice of headquarters for the moment, though he might still move to Creedic Shaw. He hadn't decided yet.
You should go to him, mistress, Sazed said. He needs to see that you are well.
Vin didn't reply immediately. She stared out over the city, watching the bright keep in the darkening sky.
Were you there, Sazed? She asked. Did you hear his speech?
Yes, mistress, he said. Once we discovered that there was no Atium in that treasury, Lord Venture insisted that we go seek help for you. I was inclined to agree with him. Neither of us were warriors, and I was still without my ferrochemical storages.
No atium, Vin thought. After all of this, we haven't found a speck of it. What did the Lord Ruler do with it all? Or did someone else get to it first?
When Master Elland and I found the army, Sazed continued, its rebels were slaughtering the palace soldiers. Some of them tried to surrender, but our soldiers weren't letting them. It was a disturbing scene, Mistress. Your Elland, he didn't like what he saw. When he stood up there before the Ska, I thought that they would simply kill him too.
Sazed paused, cocking his head slightly.
But the things he said, Mistress, his dreams of a new government, his condemnation of bloodshed and chaos. Well, Mistress, I fear that I cannot repeat it. I wish I'd had my metal mines, so that I could have memorized his exact words.
He sighed, shaking his head. Regardless, I believe that Master Breeze was very influential in helping calm that riot. Once one group started listening to Master Elland, the others did too. And from there, well, it is a good thing that a nobleman ended up as king, I think. Master Elland brings some legitimacy to our bid for control, and I think that we will see more support from the nobility and the merchants with him at our head.
Vin smiled. Kel would be angry with us, you know. He did all this work, and we just turned around and put a nobleman on the throne.
Sazed shook his head.
Ah, but there is something more important to consider, I think. We didn't just put a nobleman on the throne. We put a good man on the throne.
A good man, Vin said.
Yes. I've known a few of those now.
Vin knelt in the mists atop Keep Venture. Her splinted leg made it harder to move around at night, but most of the effort she used was allomantic. She just had to make certain that her landings were particularly soft. Night had come, and the mists surrounded her, protecting her, hiding her, giving her power. Elland Venture sat at a desk below, beneath a skylight that still hadn't been patched from the time Vin had thrown a body through it. He didn't notice her crouching above. Who would? Who saw Mistborn in her element? She was, in a way, like one of the shadow images created by the 11th metal. Incorporeal. Really just something that could have been. Could have been. The events of the last day were difficult enough to sort through. Vin hadn't even tried to make sense of her emotions, which were a far bigger mess. She hadn't gone to Elland yet. She hadn't been able to. She looked down at him, sitting in the lantern light, reading at his desk and making scribbled notes in his little book. His meetings earlier had apparently gone well. Everyone seemed willing to accept him as king. Marsh whispered that there were politics behind the support, however. The nobility saw Elland as a puppet they could control, and factions were already appearing amongst the Ska leadership. Still, Elland finally had an opportunity to draft the law code he'd been dreaming of. He could try to create the perfect nation, try to apply the philosophies he had studied for so long. There would be bumps, and Vin suspected that he would ultimately have to settle for something far more realistic than his idealistic dream. That didn't really matter. He would make a good king. Of course, compared with the Lord Ruler, a pile of soot would make a good king. She wanted to go to Elland, to drop down into the warm room, but something kept her back. She'd been through too many recent twists in her fortune, too many emotional strains, both allomantic and non-allomantic. She wasn't certain what she wanted anymore. She wasn't certain if she were Vin or Valette, or even which of them she wished that she were. She felt cold in the mists, in the quiet darkness. The mist empowered, protected, and hid, even when she didn't really want it to do any of the three.
I can't do this. That person who would be with him, that's not me. That was an illusion, a dream. I am that child who grew up in the shadows, the girl who should be alone. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve him.
It was over. As she had anticipated, everything was changing. In truth, she'd never really made a very good noblewoman. It was time for her to go back to being what she was good at, a thing of shadows, not of parties and balls. It was time to go. She turned to leave, ignoring her tears, frustrated with herself. She left him, her shoulders slumped as she hobbled across the metallic roof and disappeared into the mist. But then, he died promising us that you had starved to death years ago. With all the chaos, she'd nearly forgotten the Inquisitor's words about Rhen. Now, however, the memory made her pause. Mists passed her, curling, coaxing. Rhen hadn't abandoned her. He'd been captured by the Inquisitors who had been looking for Vin, the unlawful child of their enemy. They'd tortured him. And he had died protecting her.
Rhen didn't betray me. He always promised that he would, but in the end, he didn't.
He had been far from a perfect brother, but he had loved her nonetheless. A whispered voice came from the back of her mind, speaking in Rhen's voice.
Go back.
Before she could convince herself otherwise, she dashed limpingly back to the broken skylight and dropped a coin to the floor below. Elland turned curiously, looking at the coin, cocking his head. Vin dropped down a second later, pushing herself up to slow the fall, landing only on her good leg.
"Elland Venture," she said, standing up.
"There is something I've been meaning to tell you for some time."
She paused, blinking away her tears.
"You read too much, especially in the presence of ladies."
He smiled, throwing back his chair and grabbing her in a firm embrace. Vin closed her eyes, simply feeling the warmth of being held, and realized that was all she had ever really wanted.